AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York, where people from all over the world helped bring in 2023 in Times Square. CBS's Charlie DeMar was there.
This year, for the first time in the pandemic, no COVID restrictions for the hundreds of thousands gathered in Times Square.
New York City, I'm hoping it's coming back.
But the virus threat is not gone. The CDC is tracking a new variant infecting Americans nationwide.
That new strain is known as XBB 1.5. The CDC says it accounts for about 41% of new cases in the U.S. The Safety Act was supposed to take effect today in Illinois, but the state Supreme Court has put it on hold. Here's KTNV TV reporter Jackie Kostek.
The measure would have eliminated cash bail for some crimes. The state Supreme Court found the measure would unfairly take discretion on bail out of the hands of judges. Critics of the current bail system say it unfairly punishes the poor. The Supreme Court has not set a date to hear appeals in this case, so it's unclear when or if that measure will be enacted.
Air raid sirens sounded in Kyiv and across Ukraine shortly after midnight as Russia ramped up its attacks on civilian targets. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky told his people in a recorded message, "The world won't forgive Russia for its terror." Danny Erbard is with the BBC.
He delivered part of his address to Russians in their native tongue. The war Moscow was waging, he said, was not with NATO as it maintained, but to keep one person, Vladimir Putin, in power.
One person was killed and more than 30 were injured in this latest attack. The suspect in the University of Idaho murders plans to waive his extradition hearing this week to face charges in Idaho. Neffy Duff lived near Brian Koberger on campus at Washington State University.
I'm just kind of dumbfounded, you know, that this could be going on right here, you know, or like, you know, somebody could be conspiring to do something like that right here.
Koberger was arrested on Friday. Police still haven't said how they tracked him down. About 16,000 nurses in New York City could go on strike next week over pay and staffing issues. New York State Nurses Association President Nancy Hagan says nurses here are overworked.
There are nurses in the emergency room that are caring for 20 patients.
The union says their contracts expired on Saturday. A powerful storm is ushering in the new year in California. Brian Hurley's with the National Weather Service.
It's going to go into the Great Basin and eventually the central and southern Rockies as we get into Monday, then affect the plains and even the Mississippi Valley region with the snow on the north and west side of the system and heavy rain on the east and southeast side.
He says several systems are headed east with more rain and snow. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS22.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang.
They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast today with daytime highs approaching 35. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows level off around 21. Overcast skies tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 33. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And a reminder, if you like our show, tell your friends.
Spread the word.
Spread the word. Tim Miller, his title for his piece on this is, "No, you do not have a constitutional right to post Hunter Biden's dick pic on Twitter."
The story just kind of went limp.
And on that note, we're taking a break.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! All right, all right, all right. We are here. We are live. This is not a replay.
It is not a replay.
Jane weathered the storm and drove to the Waukesha studio. I am still in Wisconsin Rapids. It's a much shorter drive from my parents' house to WFHR, but how is it down there?
It is not great. you know, I woke up this morning, I got up about 6 and took a look out the window, and I thought, well, if I can't see across the street, obviously I'm going to stay home. And yes, it wasn't that blowy because, you know, most of the snow had already stopped. And when I got out onto the roads, the bigger issue was you can't see the lane markers because none of the snow has moved and none of it is melting because it's so cold. So that was a little twitchy, but I came in early enough so there wasn't very much traffic. And it's always, I'm always worried about the other people.
But were there that many other people?
Not many, but there are some. Yeah. You know, there are still people who got to work. There's restaurants.
People got to work.
There's restaurants that are open. There's, you know, I saw We Energy's trucks, and those guys are out, and there were some power outages scattered around the state, so there are still people who are working today.
Well, I'm just hoping that it stays like that so you can get home safely, because we're here. We're live for the next 3 hours, and it is Christmas Eve Eve.
Yes.
It is also Festivus. Festivus for the rest of us.
Right.
Yes, we are going to, at 1 p.m. today, if you have grievances of this year, Jane, do you have grievances this year?
Absolutely.
We're going to spend time at the 1 o'clock, top of the hour, hearing from you. We'll maybe air some of our grievances. We'll remind people who maybe are unfamiliar with Festivus what this holiday represents,
the
where
origins.
It came from.
The origin story.
You know that it's actually a writer from Seinfeld. This was part of his, like, life growing up. This is not a just completely fabricated, made-up Costanza thing from Seinfeld. It actually has real origins in Dan O'Keefe's real life growing up.
Oh, that is priceless.
Yeah, so I learned that this morning as I was like, oh, let's do some fun Festivus stuff today, because it is... it's December 23rd. It's getting ahead of Christmas. And so we have a super fun show today. It's no guests, which is totally fine. So Jane and I are just going to riff it up for the whole show for all 3 hours. And the first hour, we're going to do the news, per usual, headlines that caught our eye. But then the second hour, starting at 12, we're going to do some fun. It's not quite trivia because we're not going to be asking questions. But I feel like for the last month, I've been seeing different articles written that are explainers about stuff that we don't really know, ever know the origin of. So when and how did NORAD start tracking Santa?
Seems like it's been around forever, but it hasn't.
67 years.
Wow.
So it's pretty old.
Yeah.
It's not a new-ish tradition. But then we also, economists studied what the perfect Christmas gift is. And the answer might surprise you. There's also some facts about different holiday plants. Mistletoe. Did you know that it was a parasitic plant?
I know it's poisonous.
Yeah. Well, and it's like a pretty ancient plant as far as its meaning and different traditions around it beyond just the Christian 20th century and 19th century kissing under the mistletoe. And then, like we said, at 1 p.m., we're breaking out the aluminum pole and airing our grievances for Festivus. And at the end of the show, we're going to do a little bit of an explainer of where the 12 days of Christmas came from. And that also might surprise you. It surprised me. But I also, maybe my most embarrassing, and I've done a lot of embarrassing things in the name of goofy videos.
In the name of entertainment.
In the name of entertainment. You know, I, in 2020, dressed as for voter registration day, I made a video dressed as Uncle Sam and proudly put that onto the internet. This one is pretty bad. We may even read some of the comments that I already got on it that are not very nice, but you know, I got thick skin. And so stick around for the end of the show to hear me attempt to sing.
Hear Kristen Bry sing. Yes. It's
a hard song though.
It is a hard song. I think you started a little too high, perhaps.
I started too high. So basically that to bury the lead too much. I rewrote some of the lyrics and recorded for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel 12 Days of Wisconsin Christmas. And the only like instrumental, not copyright version that we could use, because it's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and we have to use things that are, you know, fair use.
Sure.
Was really high. And we kept playing it so I would stay on beat. So when we were editing the video, it wouldn't be hard to match up with that.
Gotcha.
And so I couldn't sing in my register very well because I kept hearing the notes. And God love him, Bill Schultz, producer and editor over it. He's like, I think it's fine. I don't understand. Like, he couldn't understand why it was screwing me up. And I was like, all right, well, let's just do it. And so that's how we will end the show. So we have a lot of fun things planned. We would always, as always, we'd love to hear from you, whether it's your grievances, whether it's your favorite Christmas movie, whether it's your holiday traditions, 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Today is going to be a party. So we would love to hear from you. And anyone who's watching the live stream right now, you can see that I am in my festive this year's edition Miller Lite Ugly Christmas sweater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. My brother was like, that looks like you still live in Brooklyn. He's like, I feel like that sweater you can only get away with wearing that sweater in Milwaukee or Brooklyn.
That's an interesting comparison.
But yeah, I feel like if you can see it, it's cute. I think it's cute.
Sure.
So shout out to Miller Lite. All right. Well, our top story, I don't know if it's really the top story, but it's something that I thought was really interesting because as I was laying in bed this morning, trying to figure out whether or not we were going to have a live show, I was scrolling through Twitter, as one does, and I started noticing, not on mine, but on other people's tweets, the little analytics icon. And I was like, well, that's weird, because it basically, when you clicked on it, you could see how many people have viewed someone else's tweet.
Okay.
So in the same way, when you go on any other video social media, so TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. You can see how many views a video has, but this was just for tweets. And I don't know why it kind of caught my eye. And maybe it's because it's finally a new feature rollout that isn't controversial after the 2 months since Elon took over.
Elon did something that didn't tick everyone off.
What I'm not saying that it's, I think it's a great feature. I don't really know the value of it per se, but it's basically a new feature and it's only some people have it so far. So Jane, I don't know if you have it, but I feel like this is made for people like you because you've admitted that you are more of a voyeur.
Oh yeah.
On Twitter.
I'm a lurker.
So you don't like or comment or retweet very often?
Very, very rarely.
And so that's kind of what this is addressing. So Twitter's rolling out a feature that shows how many people have viewed your tweets. And it's similar to the videos, but it's because it shows how many more people are alive on Twitter than it may seem. Because 90% of Twitter users read, but don't tweet, reply, or like. And so it's kind of trying to attribute, I'm sure, because as Elon is continuing to try to show how many people are active on the site. And so I don't know what the, because at one point, I think on YouTube, watching 3 seconds of a video was considered a view.
And that was enough for them to count it.
To count as a view. And I think Facebook was similar. At one point, one was 3 seconds and the other one was 1 second, which it's did they really watch the video? So I don't know what the criteria is to be considered read. Is it just an impression where someone scrolled by it? Or is it when they've taken a second to actually read the tweet?
Right.
And you could always see how, for your own analytics, for someone who is an active tweeterer, you could always see what your analytics are. It's just that what's new is being able to see how many people are seeing people you're following or on any given tweet, how many people can actually see it. And so I just thought that was interesting. And then what I also thought was interesting, it was just also a reminder in the same way that only 90% of Twitter users are active. A reminder that 75% of all people in the U.S. don't tweet.
Are they even on Twitter?
I don't even know if they're on Twitter. But on an average weeknight, there was just some stats I wanted to rehash. This was from Axios back in March. But it was the silent majority of the average person in America, as much as there's some of us who are very online. I would definitely consider myself one of those people who's very into social media, who's very into the news. And just a reminder on this Christmas Eve Festivus, that most people you meet in everyday life are decent and normal and nice. And it's not what you see on Twitter, and it's not necessarily what you see on the news, that we are all nuts and nasty and mean to each other. Because most people really are not engaged that much in the news or on social media, and that nearly 3 times more Americans donated to charities than politicians and political parties.
And so that's really good.
Just a good reminder that Twitter is not real life. And maybe it's even a reminder for us on this show that giving Elon Musk and everything happening at Twitter too much attention doesn't resonate with a lot of people. No. So maybe we'll cut that a little bit short in 2023. All right. Well, we are taking our first break. When we come back, some more headlines. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
He done backed up and moved away from the North Pole.
North Pole.
If you're looking for a present on Christmas Day, you better send your cards and letters to Santa Claus. We got days of Lambeau. Ho, 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 and go, Pack, go!
Pride.
Left corner, 3 on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
I'm an addict. If football's on TV, I'm watching. And when I'm watching, there's only two things that will get me out of my recliner. And one of those is a trip to the buffet table. Ours always includes grilled brats and hot dogs on Village Hearth buns. At halftime, we bring out a huge platter of cold cut sandwiches made on Country Hearth multigrain bread. Baked right here in the Midwest, Country Hearth and Village Hearth breads and buns are always fresh and delicious.
Touchdown! Yes! Yes!
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinair. We're here, we're live, we're celebrating Christmas Eve Eve and Festivus. We would love to hear your grievances if you have any for the year, 844-967-2789. We will get to those at 1 o'clock today. But for now, we're still doing some headlines. And I wanted to use the shorter segment to just cover two headlines that are not in the holiday spirit, okay, but are still important to report on and maybe have if we have any commentary. But the first is yesterday, the CDC published two reports collectively finding that life expectancy in the U.S. is at its lowest level in two decades.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two decades.
Yeah. So you think about the advancements we've made in health in 20 years. The fact that it's gone down is disappointing, but it's the second year in a row that it's dropped. And the two, and I guess, you know, one feels probably, what's surprising is I would love to see how it compares to other countries, because the two leading reasons people are pointing to of why this has happened 2 years in a row. One is COVID, because we lost a lot of people to COVID.
We lost over a million people.
Yeah. And young, and not all old people, but also drug overdoses, which obviously has less to do with health outcomes as far as dying of more natural causes or, you know, other diseases like heart disease and lung disease and stuff that I feel like a lot of technical advancements in healthcare and health outcomes has felt like you can survive cancer. There's more treatments. But drug overdoses and fentanyl and everything that is addiction and has and kills young people is partially to blame or especially to blame for driving early deaths. And so it doesn't sound like a lot, but again, it's the lowest that it's been in two decades. So it fell from 77 years to 76.4 years. And I think that's for the average Americans, but still for women, we're still outliving men, because the average for women, American women, are still living over 79 years old.
Okay.
But similar to how our general health outcomes are always ranked basically last compared to our peer countries, this data puts U.S. at the lowest life expectancy compared to other wealthy countries. Which you just, with how much money we spend on healthcare,
I
you think
know.
That it would be longer, higher, better, stronger, faster.
Isn't this just an indictment on our healthcare system?
Well, I don't know. You know, if you think that the two reasons are COVID and drug overdoses, is that the healthcare system, is that other policy decisions that are outside of advancements in care? Is it, because I don't know if they're pointing to the lack of access to care as a driving force, but I don't know. I mean, because ultimately, you know, the whole world dealt with COVID, right?
Yes.
And because, and similarly, I remember probably, what was it, 2 years ago that we were doing the Winter Olympic Games? Is it 2 years already?
It has to be.
In Japan? And I mean, that was riddled with controversy because Japan was still letting it happen. And there was a lot of protest in the country because COVID was kind of raging there at the point. I'm trying to think, this is how bad my timeline is now. Was that 2 years ago or 1 year ago? Was it the beginning of 2021?
I want to say it was 2 years ago, but I could be wrong.
Someone please let us know.
We'll look it up during the break. We'll look it up during the break.
But Japan is still leading the pack. Their average life expectancy is 84.5.
And they've been there. I mean, they've been at the top for a long, long time.
Yeah. And I'm sure that has to do with their diet and how much they walk and a lot of other things as far as how well they take care of themselves and how they process food compared to how American food is processed. So there's probably more things than just COVID and drug overdoses, but that is the first headline that is a little depressing. And the second headline, which is also depressing, is that the FBI said that hate crimes went up by 54% in Wisconsin this past year. That there were 111 hate crimes in 2021 compares to 72 the year before and 50 the year before that.
Wow.
And the numbers are going up despite fewer law enforcement agencies reporting hate crime data to the FBI. And so advocates tell Wisconsin Public Radio that they want to create a bipartisan commission to inform state government about hate crime research. But this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with Allison Hayden on Wednesday from Milwaukee Jewish Federation, that nationally there's been increased hate crimes and Wisconsin's no different, unfortunately.
I don't think that will be a surprise to most people, unfortunately.
Really?
I just think that our discourse and the way we speak to each other in just the last 5 years has worsened so much. And I just think that that's indicative of people feeling free to say terrible things out loud. And to follow up, unfortunately, some of those things with actions.
Yeah, it's so far beyond my, like, we're, as I said in the first segment, I get crappy comments on, you know, and so I have a moment of wanting to stick it back to these people, but the self-control I have is like, I don't want to be mean to anyone. And so it's so hard to wrap my head around the hate that some people have, and especially hate for people that they've never even met. But with that, those are the two, I think, the two really sad headlines of the day. So we're going to move on. We're going to take one more break and get some more headlines after this break, including some movement on the spending bill. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Happy holidays from WFHR. It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast today with daytime highs approaching 35. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows level off around 21. Overcast skies tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 33. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are here on the Civic Media Network. And a reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have a topic you think we should cover or an idea for a guest that we should have on, shoot us an email, askgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us, or give us a text, give us a call, 844-967-2789. This is our Christmas special. Because we're here, we're live. This is not a rerun. It will be a rerun Monday.
It will. So yes, it will.
Next week, we have a short week. The whole Civic Media Network is going to be not doing new shows on Monday or Friday, but we will be here doing all of the different kinds of recaps you can think of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Best shows of 2022, best technology inventions of 2022, anything you can think of. I probably have found a list, compilation of best of for that category that we will be doing for next week. But Monday will be a repeat.
And then we will be back January 2nd. We will be back.
January 2nd,
yep,
we'll be live.
Full force Monday. Yep, everybody's back. So
for brand new year,
2023.
Are you thinking about your New Year's resolutions?
I don't resolute.
Did you ever?
Probably a long time ago, and then I just became so disappointed in myself. It's like, why bother? You're such a disappointment to me. I know.
Really? So let's just keep rolling like we have in the past.
Yeah.
This year's going to be like last year, maybe marginally better.
Hopefully it will be a better year.
All right. Well, yesterday we spent time trying to break down some of the different line items included in the massive $1.7 trillion spending package to fund the government through the next year. There, we've gotten one step closer. As of yesterday, Senate passed the $1.7 trillion spending package.
So Chuck Grassley could get back to Iowa.
I know.
Because the House hasn't voted yet.
No, so that has to happen today.
Yep.
Basically, so the package heads to the House and includes the $858 billion defense spending, which is 10% over last year. But it, you know, hopefully they get that done today, and then it can go to Joe Biden's desk, and we will not have a shutdown for Christmas.
That, you know, going back to that defense money though, that $858 billion, I saw an article this week that said that the armed forces, they haven't passed an audit in years.
I think I've heard that before.
I mean, we just keep giving more and more and more and more money and then not having a reckoning of where all this money goes. Isn't that a prime example? The Defense Department?
Probably. That opens a whole other can of worms.
But that doesn't seem to bother anybody. As long as
I think it bothers a lot of people. I don't know how many people in elected office it bothers, but I will, to be fair, it's also what goes into all of this stuff. And it's so murky, and that's why trying to explain it, we're not the only people doing this. This is every news outlet is like, what's in it? Bullet point, and trying to demystify all of it. But I will say, as far as part of that $858 billion was pushed for by Senator Tammy Baldwin, who helped spearhead the Great Lakes Winter Commerce Act, and told and said, we really need an additional icebreaker to be able to keep commerce going. And no, this is not an icebreaker like the hokey things you have to do when you get hired for a new job. This is an actual $350 million machine that breaks through ice. It's a tool or a machine or a boat. I mean, when you look at the picture of this thing, it kind of looks like a tugboat, but it breaks up ice, and especially breaks up ice on the Great Lakes, which does a lot of shipping. So this is been approved and is part of the defense bill, and it's an icebreaker that goes to the U.S. Coast Guard's fleet, and it helps by keeping shipping lanes open by breaking the ice. And it's like an integral part of the Great Lakes commerce in the winter months. And so it's not all. I mean, and I don't know why that's part of the defense bill. Someone would have to explain that to me. But that's baked into that part of this $1.7 trillion. So that's a good thing for us. So shout out to Tammy Baldwin for continuing to look out for commerce.
We got a new icebreaker. Yay.
Yeah. And but compared to yesterday, there was two more things that were not in the bill that went to Senate, but they added two things on. that are arguably good news for parents. So yesterday we said that the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act wasn't going to be in it. Now it is, or at least in the Senate. The Senate passed, the Senate added it on. So it requires employers to accommodate pregnant employees with things like extra bathroom breaks. And so that is added on. But also the PUMP Act requires employers to give breastfeeding mothers time and space to pump milk. That also got tacked on.
Wow.
So I guess I would, I mean, I think that that's a good thing. But the other thing we missed yesterday, and I'm less clear on who this benefits, but there is a plan, or part of the bill is to that most businesses will be required to automatically enroll employees into a 401k retirement and savings plan, which I thought was interesting. But the chief government affairs officer for the American Retirement Association told the Washington Post that this is the biggest bill concerning retirement in over 15 years. And so, like, what's in it? Most businesses will be required to automatically enroll employees into a 401k plan starting in 2025. The required age people have to start taking money out of their retirement account will be bumped from 72 to 73 in 2023, and then to 75 in 2033. Older employees can now put more money into their 401k plans beyond regular contribution limits. And the bill also makes it easier for employers to establish emergency accounts for workers and limit penalties for employees who need to withdraw funds for emergencies from those accounts. So I think on its face, it seems like a good thing as far as trying to more and more prep people for retirement, because I think that's when you're living paycheck to paycheck, it's hard to think about retirement. And so having that extra push from employers to force you to think about your retirement. But I guess some critics are saying that it's going to disproportionately help wealthy people who don't feel pressured to withdraw money from retirement accounts. But yeah, well, how's your retirement account? Were you a good saver?
I was a good saver.
That doesn't surprise me for some reason.
Yeah, I've always been really twitchy about money. And I've always been a pretty good saver. Never liked to buy things on credit, never liked to buy things that I couldn't afford. But that still doesn't, you know, when you're looking ahead, it's like, how much is going to be enough? And yeah. And while I think I'm in relatively good shape compared to some, I am probably in terrible shape compared to others. And you try and figure out, well, how long do I think I'm going to live? And is my health going to be good? Because I think that's the biggest part of it. You can be in great shape and have one major illness, and there goes everything. There goes all your savings. There goes all your everything. And what really stood out to me as you were explaining what they're doing with this 401k and this requirement that employers get their employees in, we just said that the average lifespan now in the U.S. is down for the second year in a row, and we're going to keep raising the age where people can get their own money back.
No, I think how I read that is that you were required to start taking it out by then.
Oh.
It's not that you can't take it out till then.
Okay.
Maybe I understood that wrong, but I think it's more of when you have to start taking it out.
Okay. That makes more sense.
I think it right now it's as of like 65. It's the same age as when you start getting Social Security and Medicare, right?
Yeah, but trust me, they want you to wait until you're dead.
Because they would rather not very well funded.
They would rather not have to pay you your own money. And so, you know, if you want the full benefit, I think for me, if I want my full Social Security benefits, I have to wait till I'm 77. Which is nuts.
Wow.
Which is nuts.
Like 15 more years from now.
Yeah, that's not happening. It's just not. It's my money.
Yeah.
And I'm in a fortunate position where I don't need to wait until I can get that full Social Security payment at 77. There are a lot of people who are not so fortunate.
Yeah.
But I just think by the time you're in your 60s, I've been working for more than 45 years. Some days
you also may live for another 30.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about living for another 30 years.
But I'm just saying, because this is what happened with my grandpa, who passed this year at 94.
Wow.
I don't think he thought he was going to live that long. I think he retired around in his 60s. And so it was like he outlived everyone.
Wow.
And he, I mean, he didn't have a lot of money left because he wasn't, no one was expecting for him to live that long. And that, but while the average life expectancy may be 76 right now, there's a lot of people who live a lot longer than that. And that's, you know, think about it. If you've been working for 45 years, but you live another 30, you're, you know, your retired years are, if you were to retire, which I hope you don't, because I need you, you're, you know, retired potentially for as long as you, almost as long as you were working, or at least more than half of the years that you were working potentially.
Yeah, but unfortunately, most of us will not be in the same shape that we were for the 45 years that we were working.
No.
You know, it's, it makes me laugh when they call it the golden years when you're a senior. Yeah, it's golden if you retire at 50. Then you're probably, that's before things start falling apart on you. And, you know, walk down the street, no, go, there goes a finger.
A finger?
Just inadvertently, I lost, you know. But think you will learn as you get older that things start breaking
apart.
Things start breaking down a little bit as you get a little bit older.
So what happens next with this spending bill? It's going to be, it heads to the House. Democrats still hold the majority until January, so they have to pass it before midnight, and then it'll go to President Biden's desk, and that will avoid a partial government shutdown just in the nick of time. And so we're all, I think we're all hoping for that to happen, even if you think this is a bloated bill and think this process is ridiculous in the fact that it is not Groundhog's Day, Groundhog's Day. I guess it's Groundhog's Year that this feels like, yeah, it happens every year.
Because it does.
But it is what it is. And
well, and I'm not disagreeing that this is not a ginormous bill, but under the Biden administration, we have actually reduced the deficit, correct?
I don't know.
I believe we have.
We should.
It certainly didn't happen under Trump.
No. Well, we were talking about this at dinner last night. We were talking about how in the early 90s, when Clinton ended his term, we had a surplus. I don't think we've had a surplus since, have we?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah. So, well, that took most of this segment, but I'll end on this. There's going to be a lot more Florida mans because are you familiar with the Florida man
yes.
joke?
It's one of yes. my favorite things in the entire world.
But Florida is the fastest growing U.S. state for the first time since 1957. People have been flocking to Florida in 2022, and they saw the fastest growth compared to any other state over the last year. And I guess to a certain extent, I get it. I don't really particularly feel like I need to have any interest in living in Florida, but I get it. No income tax. It's warm, whatever. But what surprised me is there's other states that kind of top the fastest growing list. Arizona, again, warm. But the other ones, Idaho, Utah, North Dakota, and Alaska.
Wow.
So what are those guys doing that people are moving there?
North Dakota?
North Dakota.
Have you ever been to North Dakota?
I have not. I have not been to North Dakota. Have you?
No. I've been to South Dakota.
People are moving there, though.
Wow. I'm baffled by that.
All right, well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we got some headline quizzes that I'm going to quiz Jane on. So play along. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
So let's give thanks to the Lord above. Santa Claus is coming tonight. So let's give thanks to the Lord above. Cause Santa Claus is coming and he's coming tonight.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Hello, how are you
doing today?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Are you an organ donor?
Yes, I am.
Yay!
My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing, it really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin Christmas Edition on the Civic Media Network. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast, either on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. Just search for As Goes Wisconsin on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts.
I don't know, all the places.
There's probably more than
all the places.
I think we have an RSS feed somewhere. You know, there's lots of ways to find us and play along with us because we're going to do a little bit of a news quiz. 844-967-2789. I have not taken, so there's two different games I have right now. One, I know the answers to, and two, I'm going to play along with you, Jane.
All right.
But this is the Brews weekly news quiz. So I, a couple weeks ago, started subscribing to Morning Brew, which is a daily newsletter roundup of headlines. And I felt like this was a much more efficient way to get my news every morning of things that stand out. I have a couple different newsletters now that I rely on, but Morning Brew, highly recommend as far as what they do for crowdsourcing and making news digestible.
Right.
But then on Fridays they do a little quiz. So I think we're going to play along and do the quiz of these are news stories from this week. So okay. Number one, the Supreme Court temporarily extended the use of which Trump era immigration order this week?
Title 42.
Oh, it was a multiple choice question. You didn't even have to. All right. You're right. You're right. I didn't even click it yet. It is new. Cause I knew the answer to that one too.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Which bank agreed to pay $3.7 billion, the CFPB's largest fine in history, over consumer banking violations?
It's Wells Fargo.
Yes. This one's easy. All right. Which city announced plans to eliminate bus fares starting in July?
Oh, I do not know this.
Oh, I actually don't know if I know. I think it's D.C. So the options are New York, Chicago, Boston, Washington, D.C. I think it's D.C.
Yeah, that seems like the only reasonable possibility. I can't see them doing that in New York.
Wait, did I? Oh, they don't. I think they tell you at the end. All right. So we'll find out.
Okay.
We'll come back. All right. Lionel Messi set a record for the most liked photo ever on Instagram this week. Who was the previous record holder? A, Kylie Jenner. B, Jifpom the dog. I don't even know who that is. C, an egg. D, Ariana Grande.
Ask it one more time, please.
Lionel Messi set a record for the most liked photo ever on Instagram this week. Who is the previous record holder? A, Kylie Jenner. B, Jifpom the dog. see an egg D Ariana Grande. I know at one point an egg was, but I don't think that was the most recent one.
I'm going to go, and it breaks my heart with Kylie Kardashian.
I'm going to go with Ariana Grande. We'll find out. All right, last question. Fill in the blanks. Steven Spielberg recently expressed regret over his film blank, leading to blank. Is it A, Jaws and the declining shark population? B, Raiders of the Lost Ark, more archaeology majors? C, E.T., boosted Reese's Pieces sales? D, Jurassic Park, Jurassic World Dominion?
I'm going to go with Jaws.
I know that it's Jaws for sure. All right, submit. Let's see what we found out. We got 4 out of 5 correct.
Oh, that's not too bad.
We were right on Title 42. Wells Fargo was right. DC was right as far as banning plans to eliminate bus fares. Oh, it was an egg.
It wasn't.
So we were both wrong. An egg is the previous. Yeah, it was just a picture of an egg. It was really random. This was a couple years ago. I remember when this happened. It was, I think the caption said something like, it was just a picture of an egg. And the caption was like, let's make this the most, well, like most liked photo on Instagram. And it worked.
Oh, that's,
I don't even know who the account was.
It wasn't even like the egg producers, you know, coalition or something like that.
No,
it was some random hen.
It was some random, random hen. But then, yes, Spielberg did express regret over Jaws having an impact on declining shark populations. So that's kind of fun.
That was really interesting. Yeah.
Week in review. So maybe we'll keep doing that. We'll just steal the Morning Brews quiz.
It's called, it's called Repurpose.
Repurpose. Thank you, Jane.
Sure.
All right. So then this is kind of the game that we played a while back with Greg Bach, but onion or not the onion, but here's three headlines and a lie. So you pick out which one is the lie.
Okay.
Three of these headlines are real and one is fake. Can you spot the odd one out? Number one, a new study finds eating 12 olives a day could make you a better swimmer.
Eating 12 olives a day can make me a better swimmer.
That's option one.
Okay.
Option two, spinach causing hallucinations sparks health warning.
Okay.
Number three, demand for lemons surges as Chinese seek immunity against COVID. Four, deputy dressed as Grinch gives onions to speeding driver.
I think that one's true.
Okay. Which other ones do you think are true?
I think the lemons could be true to fight off COVID in China. What were my other options?
A new study finds eating 12 olives a day could make you a better swimmer, or spinach causing hallucinations sparks health warning.
Okay, I'm going to go with the spinach for the lie.
Wrong.
Nope.
It's the olives. The olives are eating olives may make you a better swimmer, but there's no science study that's actually proven that. But spinach at one point was causing hallucinations and it sparked a health warning. It was in Australia and the spinach had a recall in Australia this year after officials warned the public about the toxic product. Riviera Farms recalled its baby spinach after it was found that some of the product had been contaminated with a weed, which might have health consequences if consumed. 164 people in the eastern state had reported symptoms after eating the spinach, of which at least 42 had sought medical attention. Symptoms associated with the contaminated spinach can be severe, the health body said, and can include hallucinations, delirium or confusion, rapid heartbeat, and dilated pupils.
My goodness.
Getting high while you're trying to stay healthy.
Wow.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, the history of NORAD tracking Santa.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your home.